This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Creative Impact. Each week, we look at the institutions, the organizations, businesses, and most importantly, the people that make up the creative sector in Washtenaw County. The creative industries pump tens of millions of dollars into the local economy, and the work being produced enhances our quality of lives. Our content partner for this regular Tuesday feature is Deb Pollack. Deb is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, and welcome back, Deb Pollack.
David, I'm happy to be here
and
today.
It is a special day for you and the family, isn't it?
It is a special day. It's May 29th, and in my life, it's a special day because it's not only my daughter Melissa's birthday. Happy birthday, Melissa. But it's also my husband Russ Collins' birthday. So happy birthday to both of them. And this is the first time on my show I get to shout out a happy birthday.
Of course, Russ is the co-host of Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU, and he gets to say happy birthday to you all the time.
I know. It's
but happy
fun.
Birthday to Melissa and Russ, and we certainly hope the family's going to have a great day once you get done with me.
Yes, cake for everybody.
Well, today we're going to talk about a topic, and it's right up Deb's alley. It's about how we're going to pot in a good way.
I'm not quite sure what that means, but we'll go with it. So on Creative Impact, we look at business models of the arts. That's one of our topics. And we have a great topic today in that we are speaking with Maki Lin from the Potters Guild. Now, the Potters Guild is, the Ann Arbor Potters Guild, is one of those venerable organizations that's been around Ann Arbor since 1949, and it is known as a co-op. We talk about business models. And so, Maki, first of all, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome and thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. So tell us, first of all, what is the Potters Guild?
Potters Guild is a group of potters got together and want to have a studio to share for workspace or teaching space in order to help them grow. And so basically it is a co-op. Our motto is to have a joint ownership of the organization, and it's a We do everything jointly, so we have a joint decision-making process, and we share resources, we share knowledge, and we also share responsibilities of running the guild.
That must be a challenge. There's a lot of conversation. And in fact, the Arts Alliance just last year finished a study about shared spaces for artists. There's a lot of different kind of models out there, from those that are solely developed on revenues, and those that people pay dues for, those that are held by public and private partnerships. Yours is a co-op, so people share the workload as well as the decision-making, which has to be both wonderful but challenging.
Yes, indeed. Of course, we have been there for almost 70 years.
And it must be working, David.
One would think.
Anything lasts that long has to be working. Yes, we have gone through some challenges, but we have worked out a way to coexist and work happily together, and which is the amazing thing.
Well, we're very interested, so give us some high points.
Sure. Originally, we have a very small space, and soon after, we outgrew it. So we look for a new space to purchase. So we raised money in different ways, and we made it in 1963. We moved to the current location. And, gradually, things are kind of became evident. There are a group of hardworking, conscientious people that ended up taking on the loads of the grunt work.
Okay.
You know, loading the kiln, unloading the kiln, cleaning the gill, et cetera.
That can get pretty dirty when you're working with clay and materials.
Yeah, it's hard work.
Yeah.
And it was not really shared equitably. Some people just came by and dropped the pot, expect to be fired by
somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else, and can pick it up. And so pretty soon it became kind of people start having hard feelings and feeling they're not treated fairly. The guild commissioned a three-people committee to study how to remedy this. And so they came up with what they call the point system. So the point system basically is the members can earn points doing guild work. Loading the kiln, unloading the kiln, cleaning, making clay, doing bookkeeping, all these things involved to run the Potterskill. Kiln work is the hardest thing, though it has 600 points an hour. And making clay has 400 points.
So more points for the harder work.
Yes, yes.
And I need to use this with Russ.
It works very nicely. And then there's another thing. Guild members, in order to fire their glaze pots, they have to earn points in order to earn the space in the glaze kiln. So in other words, when you become a new member, you don't have any points. So you need to earn points in order to fire your pots. For instance, if your pot is 2-inch by 10-inch by 10-inch, so that's 200 points. So you have to have already 200 points bank in your account.
So the points are the most important thing
points,
for kiln space and shelf space and
the right. And so that gives people incentive to work. We also initiated a point system in order to keep shelves at the guild because space is premium.
Creative Impact continues on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, along with our Creative Impact partner, Deb Pollock of the Arts Alliance. Our guest today is Maki Lin, and Maki is a member of the Ann Arbor Potters Guild. So in a way, it sounds like a meritocracy contained within a system of socialism.
I like that. Well, yes, indeed.
And it's been working for, as you said, 70-some years as an organization. Is this a model that others have come to you to share?
Yes. There have been a lot of organizations that have come and patterned after our point system. And I actually one time was visiting Denver, Colorado. I went to visit their Potter's Guild there. And they said, oh, yes, we patterned after your model.
Oh, so but you still have to pay bills. So how does that happen? There's membership fees?
Yes, we have a annual dues.
Okay.
And then we have different way of fundraise. And then some of the past member, they've been members so long, after they pass, they leave us.
Legacy gifts?
Yes.
And how about your sales? You have one coming up soon.
Yes, in first weekend in June.
And those are big sales.
Yes.
You do twice a year.
Spring and Christmas.
Okay, and so you've got one coming up the first weekend in June?
Yes.
Does anything from the sales go towards the overhead costs?
Yes. So okay. A percentage of the sale will go to all the costs of putting up that sale.
We so frequently hear in business that the nonprofit world can learn from the business world. I frankly think this model is something that can be shared in the cooperative sort of way with a lot of different business entities. It's remarkable.
Yes, and there's another very important point. I'll go very quickly, that we try to take in new members that would fit into the guild. So we'll have a harmonious as much as possible among the members. So since we work in a small space, and we like one another, and so we can work nicely together. And we have been doing a very good job at that.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you sharing this, and good luck with the sale, and good luck with your work.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you indeed, Maki Lin. Maki Lin is a member of the Ann Arbor Potters Guild, sharing her story and helping us understand how these kinds of cooperatives work and how we all benefit. Deb Pollock is president and CEO of the Arts Alliance and our content partner for this weekly feature we call Creative Impact. We'll do it again next Tuesday, Deb.
Thank you, David.
I'm David Fair, and you can access the Creative Impact Archive by visiting our website at wemu.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.